We're going to call this meeting to order here. Linda?
Huh?
Pay attention. It don't get that.
Sorry, Gus.
Meeting for the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee is underway. We need approval of the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
And has everyone had a chance to read the minutes?
I'll abstain, my vote is not there.
Oh, I'm sorry, get the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, approval of minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes or review them? Any questions, comments, clarifications? All right, I'd like a motion for approval of the minutes as written.
I'll make that motion.
Motion?
I'll second it.
Second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Correspondence. I don't have anything unless Susan has anything. Correspondence?
Jim?
I'll share one.
Okay.
Councilman Sam Wilson still isn't happy with the name change. I thought I would share that correspondence, as I hear it every single time I see him. I do know this committee did, I was told anyways, had unanimously supported it, correct?
Yes.
Those that were present. Okay. That's all I want to know. And that's all I really care about. I thought I would just be the messenger for whatever that might be worth.
We had a very good presentation on that. It was very intriguing how they went through the motion for that. So we supported it.
Yeah, that was the message, you know, before the council. And of course, as you all know, we voted 4-1 in favor of this, of course. So, but anyways, so I think that there's no time we talk about anything, any kind of a name change. Whatever Sam, whatever it might be, we're always talking about, make sure it's coastal. So we'll think about, coastal waste management change. We're just, all these names, coastal. So.
Well, you do have a coastal wastewater treatment plant.
South coastal, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're making a whole division. Why not? Hey, I'm not kidding. I'm sorry. Sorry, Todd.
That's all right.
And that will lead us right into the branding initiative update.
Guess that's under me.
Yes.
As far as the actual branding, which is different from the marketing initiative we're doing, it's mostly signage right now and just kind of changing over the name of the airport in people's minds. Signage, business cards, letterhead. What am I missing?
Shirts.
Sure. Just
anything like that.
We've ordered some shirts, and so as far as the actual branding, that's kind of what we're doing now. Working on the website, we'll have a new look. What else?
So one of our promotional representatives, she did a phenomenal presentation about a week and a half ago, and presented, I'd probably say, about 50 different promotional items for our consideration. It's going to take some time to roll them out. What we've ordered thus far are some really creative promotional items for kids, and we'll be displaying at Wings and Wheels here next Saturday. We're real excited to be a part of that. And Jim and I, as far as on the marketing piece of that, Jim and I are actually traveling out to the Business Aviation, the big national NBAA conference, which is very, very exciting. I've already had a conference call with a board of director over with Pat's. Mm-hmm. He actually serving as their mentor. His name is Cameron Burr. He is truly an aviation expert. We had a great conference call with Senator Carper's team. Pat's is actually going to be displaying out the conference in November, so we're actually going to team with them. They've already outreached to the county to say any way we can help. So we're actually going to ask for their help as we're designing our first official airport brochure. We want to be out there and be the part. We want to look the part as well. So I wish Garrett was here, but Garrett has outreached to some of his Georgetown Air Services. I reached out to some of his contacts, and they've given us some suggestions on key bullet points for our message in November.
Cool.
So we do plan to have a professional airport brochure, and Jim and I will well represent and will be with the PATS team, which is a significant deal at this conference in November. And also, for the record, when we had this conference call with Mr. Burr last week, and again with Senator Parker's team, the county had teed up the new logo, the new brand, the whole kit and caboodle. And when we had the call the next day, the first thing he said was, "Woo! You guys are on point." I mean, he was blown away by how effective he believes that is, and that was quality A. So that gives you a boost of confidence as you move forward. So the things we're working on now takes a little bit of time. The actual business cards and how we're going to roll out specific promotional items, et cetera. So.
And that wasn't the last meeting. Is there an official rollout date for the name change? Because I know it was discussed at Wings and Wheels, but it's not then.
Well, the name was changed when the county council approved it.
Right.
We had talked about doing something in conjunction with Wings and Wheels and take advantage of that. Right now, that's not going to happen, and just because of the signage and some other cutting it kind of close on being able to promise things. And, so I don't know if we don't have any replacement date or ceremony in mind, but
we kicked around some ideas to try to really utilize the Wings and Wheels excitement and the name change excitement, but we didn't really have the right. In my mind, we didn't have the right exercise to do it. So, we put a new sign up, which the big new sign is not anywhere close to being even at design level yet. So to unveil that would have been a great thing, but we're not close.
Right.
So anything else other than that is kind of isn't going to have the effect.
Right, right.
And we didn't want to have a dog and pony show, even though I felt like it would have been a good time to do it. We wanted to make sure that the results were going to be there if we did do it. So we punted. So, because I didn't want to do something just half when we need to do it all the way.
Do you think you'll have one, or is it just going to be more of a subtle name change with advertising campaign?
I think if council approves the big sign, which in theory will go up out by SAS on the corner, there may be something that we could do there.
Okay.
Because that's going to be new, and that's going to be a gateway sign. It's going to be It's going to look amazing, and a lot of partnerships involved, and could be a good thing for us. So there may be something involving that. And to go back to what Jim and Melody were saying, you will see some improvements at Wings and Wheels. In fact, we're very hopeful that the vendor will have our stuff installed, and it's mostly involving the signage around the terminal, the monument sign we call out here at the corner of the airport road is going to get a facelift with our new branding, some things around the terminal parking lot. So we will be, as a visitor, walking into a new venue as it relates to signs in and around this, but they were small in nature, but it'll look nice, we think.
How about be ready by Wings and Wheels?
Installed Monday, correct?
Last I heard.
So we're cutting it close, but we had to go through council, we had to go through the budget, go through council, we did an RFP across the state, all of our local county sign companies, and we got two bids back. And we've selected parts of each. But that contracting and bids take time and all of that. So we're excited about what we have and what we have approved. I think you'll be excited about what you see next week.
Good.
So there will be things and improvements by Wings and Wheels, physical improvements.
Right. Can we take the name and obviously the logo with us wherever we go, since that was released to us?
As far as I'm concerned, it is our new name and our new logo.
Okay, so
there's no going back.
No going back, right?
Right.
And it's all right to take it to
absolutely
anywhere.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And for clarification, from the FAA standpoint, the name change isn't going to affect approach charter or anything like that, is still going to stay the same. same there for ease of bureaucracy?
October 15th, all the approach plates and everything will change to Delaware Coastal.
Okay,
there's
good.
There's a NOTAM out right now.
There's a NOTAM.
Yeah,
but the identifier will stay the same.
The identifier stays the same.
Okay.
It'll still be alphabetical under Georgetown.
Okay.
But it'll be Delaware Coastal.
Good. I look forward to seeing it on my
Jim, are we working on changing that? The GED? I think we went to DEL, right? Is that in works?
It's going to take longer than.
Yeah, there was a question.
It's a year and a half probably to change it. And we have to come up with some good justification.
Could we want to our airport?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not that easy.
No.
Not EFAA.
From a pilot standpoint, that really doesn't concern us. So GED is really, I don't think, is a problem as an identifier.
I mean, how many people in the public do you think knows that GED stands for Georgetown Airport?
Right.
Very, very.
Well, that's my point. So therefore, why does it make a difference? I mean, that's really my point. But anyways, it's the federal government, so it's okay.
I mean, that is our intent, and you know, we've looked into how to do it, and it's a long process, and like I said, we have to come up with some good justification for doing it. And
have you come up with any recommended alphabet soup there?
I think we settled on DEL. If it's available. You know, they look at, you know, within a 250-mile radius, you know, any airports or navigation aids that have DEL. And not just DEL, but letters that are close to it. So when you're fat-fingering it into your FMS, you know, you
don't get
if there's one, you know, whatever the letter next to the L is, you know, that you can't have that. So
right.
So a big part of the whole process, even with the name change, Delaware Coastal Airport, is getting that Delaware on the map, and that's why we really zeroed in on that DEL. And so really hope that certainly the justification in itself, and hopefully we get this expedited. Because from a marketing perspective, I think it can go hand in hand with everything else we're doing.
Because from a pilot standpoint, Sussex County Airport, Georgetown Airport, it's a subtle name change, but it doesn't affect what we do. Or but as far as the name change, that's huge. I mean, that's really a big thing, because it does identify it as the Southern Airport or Coastal Airport. So it's good. It's all good. Anything else on the branding initiative? Wildlife update?
Not much going on. I haven't seen whole lot of deer out there. I saw some yesterday. It was the first time in a long time. I don't know what everybody else is seeing out there, but
I'm pleased to say the skunks are gone.
Good.
Had a couple skunks in the hangar. That's an interesting thing to see, especially when my plane door was down. It's like, oh, Lord. So, but small balls got rid of them. Got rid of the frogs too. It's actually good.
I'm glad they were your hanger, not mine.
See, they were living in the bifold door, the two covers, and they were fashioned in there. And there's just enough room for a snake ground. I walked in here, it looked like a cat. Or whatever it is, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a skunk. So I came back the next day, and then there were two of them. When I popped the door, a white one, and they ran to the pipe under by the airport. So a friend of mine said their mothballs out, and that drove them away.
So they could be coming to your
they
hangar.
Might be there, Larry.
I figured they came from the hangar next door.
Exactly.
Not this way, that way.
They're going to perform at Wings and Wheels as well.
Well, according to WBOC, Wings and Wheels is this weekend. So we're going to have a mess on our hands. WBOC tonight, we're talking all about Wings and Wheels this weekend.
Even though they said that they put the dates
on the screen,
they
put the dates up at the end on the, someone just called me on the way in, and I was sitting out in the parking lot, and they were giving me a brief on that. But yeah, they were talking about Wings and Wheels this weekend. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna call the guy tomorrow.
Well, all right, so much for wildlife.
Yep. I mean, we're getting into the fall, and we'll start seeing more deer, and we'll do what we've been doing in the past, chasing them around and having a good time. Airport update. I've been remiss, or somebody's been remiss, but we need to introduce Mike Izzo's replacement. I don't know, Todd, if you want to explain all that.
If you didn't hear, don't know, Mike Izzo, county engineer, retired after 30-plus years working with the county. His last day was a few weeks ago. Joe Wright, who was the assistant county engineer, stepped in as acting county engineer, took on that role until we find a replacement, and hopefully as soon as we can. So Joe is going to be carrying all the water for now, and I have to find a replacement quickly, or he's not going to carry it much longer. So that's where we are. It's really sorry to see Mike go, and Mike was instrumental in everything that we've been able to do, and I take very little credit for most of that at the airport over his tenure, and was a strong advocate for the airport too. So really sorry to see him go, and but in the meantime, it's business as usual, and if you have any issues, Joe, Jim, myself, we'll handle them.
Didn't he go to another airport?
He went to Wallops
Island,
yes. And he took a job with a firm that is trying to navigate the federal bureaucracy, but an engineering firm. So he's going to help in that regard.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll miss it.
We will. We will definitely miss it.
We already do.
All right, the rest of the airport update, talked about the name change. We're in the middle of replacing the runway end identifier lights, the reels. The 2-2 end is complete. Those are now LED lights. We're waiting on a couple of parts for the runway 4 end. Those are the old style lights. The LED lights are very bright. In fact, we've got the high intensity locked out on them, so you can only click them up to medium intensity.
Can you click on the low also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking for pilot reports on too bright, not bright enough, which is going to depend on when you're actually looking at them and what the weather is. But that's in progress. Instrument approaches. I am about 95% sure that the VOR approach to runway 4 is going to go away in December completely. There's been a NOTAM out that it's not authorized. The NOTAM's gone away, so I guess the people are able to fly it right now.
No. No, they declined.
Really?
Dover would not give it to me the other day.
I couldn't get a hold of anybody today to find out why the NOTAM went away, but it didn't make sense because they didn't fix the problem that created the NOTAM. But I did get a notification that the approach is changing in December. And the only change that I saw to the paperwork was a big red cancel on the top of the page. So I expect that's going to go away. We're still working on the GPS approach to runway 4. This is the one where we've had problems with the survey. We'd be here all night if I told you everything that's going on with it, but basically, we couldn't get the survey accepted. The survey goes to the National Geodetic Service, NGS survey, and they verify all the points in the survey and pass it off to the FAA. We were having some issues getting that done. Senator Carper made a personal phone call to the flight procedures people at the FAA wanting to know what's going on, what's taking so long, and that has really stirred the pot and got everybody focused on this thing like they should have been. So the survey was submitted at the end of August. The NGS approved it a week later, went to the flight procedures people at the FAA to start developing the approach. The first thing that they do, and the approach, we're getting a new approach. It's basically just adding the LPV minimums, the vertically guided procedure to the approach, but it's actually a new approach. So they, what they do is they look at a few things. There are a bunch of different surfaces and areas that have to be completely clear. You can't have any penetrations at all. There's four of those. We have no penetrations to those. So an LPV is feasible, they say. The next thing that they look at is all these imaginary surfaces that comes out of TERPS, if you're familiar with that, but it's very confusing. Nobody understands it, even the FAA, I don't think. But you can have penetrations to those surfaces, but if you do, they have to adjust the approach. So things like, you know, not letting you go down as far to the as close to the runway, change your threshold crossing height on the approach, you know, and even things like shifting the approach a little bit so it takes the obstacle out of the way. They found three penetrations to those surfaces. The first one was a utility pole on Park Avenue, which was supposed to be removed as part of our runway project and hadn't been. Another was a tree in Mrs. Tyndall's yard over here. And then a third was right at the edge of, it was actually a tree that we did remove as part of the runway obstruction removal project. And our next step was to tell them, yes, they've been removed or lowered. You know, they told us how much it had to be lowered. The pole is coming out this week. Mrs. Tyndall's tree was trimmed yesterday. And the third tree was actually removed as part of the project. And when I showed them the Google Earth picture of where the point is, that they told us there was a tree, and it's obvious there's no tree there, but there's a tree next to it. There's a couple trees next to it. So they said, well, you may have removed that tree, but you got to tell us what the tree is that's, you know, it's basically in the same place. So we sent a surveyor out this week, or last week. They figured out the height of the trees, which should be low enough that it doesn't penetrate that surface. So all by the end of this week, all three of those surfaces are going to be clear. The bottom line on that, and what they said is, bottom line, if those things are removed or lowered, the result would be an unrestricted LPV, which means a 200-foot height above touchdown, 3/4 mile visibility for Category A and B, and 1 mile for Category C and D. So some very good minimums, I think. It's the best we're going to get at this point. So that's moving ahead. The bad news is the publication date for it is not until the end of March, which seems like a long ways away. But because they publish every 2 months,
right,
you know, that everything's got to be wrapped up by, you know, the beginning of February. The approach has to be designed. It's got to be coordinated within the FAA and with people like AOPA and NBAA, Dover Approach, everybody that's involved with it. There's an environmental determination that has to be made. Has to be flight checked. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen. Senator Carper's phone call has made sure that these things are going to happen as quickly as possible. I think that's good news after fighting this thing for the last couple of years. Any questions on the approaches?
I have a question. What is the restriction? 35 feet height on those three? Height restriction?
Slopes, imaginary slopes, you know, 34 to 1, there's 50 to 1, 20 to 1, depends on, I mean, there's all kinds of geometry that they look at. They feed
nothing in concrete. I mean,
well,
because I know when the people over here, I was involved, they had a 35-foot restriction. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't have any object any higher than 35 if they stayed there. Yeah.
And it would have to depend on where and which restrictions.
That's when there's five or six homes was moved out here. years ago.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. If you're looking at an angle, because the height is where it is.
Yeah.
And you're looking at an angle. So the closer it is in, the lower it's got to be.
Right. Yeah. That's really why I asked all these right here. Those three. What restriction? There again, you don't know.
Well, the farthest out tree, that penetrated that slope by a foot and a half, you know, which was not much. Mrs. Tyndall's tree was actually 0.15 feet. But, you know, they put all this stuff in the computer, and the computer spits out it's too tall or it's okay, and by how much. The utility pole, they said it was 15 feet too tall, which doesn't make sense to me.
It's only 14 feet out of the ground.
Yeah. But since it's coming out anyway, I'm not going to bring that up. But then they'd bring up, what about the telephone pole across the street from it?
Or the fence that it's adjacent to.
Right. So we're not going there. But like I said, it depends on where it is. And, you know, the slopes will go out this way and then off from the side. And it's very confusing. We're still progressing with our big electrical upgrade project. We've talked about this before, upgrading our existing electrical vault. We're installing a couple of more vaults around the airfield. The grant portion of this project is to replace the taxiway B lights with LED lighting, and there's some Delmarva power work that's going to be done to feed our systems and then also the main line through the airport. We're going to have a pre-construction meeting on next Wednesday to get that project started, and that'll be going on through the fall. There will be some runway closures involved with this. Nothing like what we had with the runway project, but when they're out there boring under the runway and working up close, they'll have to close the runway. And we're talking, you know, maybe a day at a time for a couple of different days. We're going to try to do as much of that at night as we can so that we're not affecting the daytime operations. And we will always have one runway open. So we're trying to minimize the impact on that. There's another project that may involve a runway closure. The concrete strip that goes across runway, the approach end of 4 that has the threshold lights in it, that needs some repair work to be done on it. That's a one-day project. We're in the middle of the bidding process right now. One of the problems we're having is there's not a whole lot of interest in it because we're talking about sections of concrete that are like this. So hopefully we'll get some bids to get that done.
When's bids due?
October 2nd.
We had a mandatory pre-bid today. Nobody showed. So we have to start. So nobody can bid. So we have to start again. These are very small patches, like 2 inches by a foot and whatever. These are like a snowplow, 50 inches.
Right.
So I'll work with Helen and see if we can turn something else around.
Couldn't that fall underneath your little patching? It's going to be under what? Do you have a minimum where you don't have to put it out for bid, or is it
5,000,
more than that?
5,000, you can take one bidder. So. Mm-hmm. 50 for getting 3 under a RFP process, which is what we were trying. It's certainly under 50.
What do you think your estimate is on it? 10?
In that range, probably. I don't want to tell you the wrong number, but you know, it's some high early concrete, and you know, so there are some things
right.
That raise the prices to it. You've got to get in there and out quick, but we'll look again. Maybe we can get it under 5. We can find one person and we'll do it. But it's not causing a safety problem or anything. We noticed it when we were doing a final inspection.
Right.
We thought, let's just address this now.
Can you do it in 2 separate phases? So it is less than 5 each time?
Our purchasing folks would not be happy with us.
Yeah,
segment things like
we
that.
Do 5.
I'm try to
do
follow
a change
those
order.
When's the county's fiscal year?
Not that I've had any experience with that, but.
Anyway, my point of that was there may be another runway closure involved, so we'll see. A couple months ago, the county bought Joe Hudson's hangar, which is the hangar next to LifeNet.
Mm-hmm.
That mostly so that we can develop that property into something a little more useful than what it's being used for now. There's over an acre of land available, and there's a 2,500 square foot hangar on it, so it's not being used as well as it should be. In the meantime, while we're doing all that, we're gonna lease that hangar out, and we're gonna do that. A little bit unusual for us, but probably the smartest way to do that is through an RFP, request for proposal. So that should be going out in the next week or so. Anybody that's on my email list, we'll get a copy of that, and then we'll put it in some other places. But there'll be a selection process, a minimum bid, and we'll see how much interest we can generate with that.
Is it to rent the building?
To rent.
Or the same, or the site?
It'll be to rent the hangar. Part of the bid will be, what are you going to use it for? And how much fuel you're going to buy, how much you're going to be flying. Then it'll all be weighted to select the winner. That's about it, other than the signs. Todd already talked about that. They're coming Monday. The other signs that are to follow, all the county-owned buildings out here will have a unique 911 address sign attached to it, and it will be also be offering that to the privately owned tenants out here at the county's expense. So more to come on that.
This doesn't affect the industrial park.
No,
that's still, its name stays intact.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've got.
That's step two.
Right.
Now, the VOR, that's still, I'm very concerned about that, because just like the last 4 days, the winds were favoring runway 4 because the low's off the Virginia and North Carolina. And 9 times out of 10, that's what I always come in on. Larry, I think you're going to be of the same predicament there, because what's the is the circling minimums at night? At one time
you can't circle to 1028 at night.
Okay.
We have requested them to develop an instrument or a VOR approach just based off the Waterloo VOR and take Salisbury out of it. And I haven't heard back on that request. But like I said, that any new approach is a year and a half process. So.
That I think that affects more pilots than we may recognize. I mean, there's two of us sitting right here.
I'm almost always. Out 4 times, 1 with 4 versus 2.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying in the last meeting. Is that 9 times out of 10, I think I've used runway 4, VOR.
Usually coming in at night, I'm on 4 as well.
That's the predominant winds when we've got the low clouds with the low pressure off of Virginia, North Carolina. So, I mean, it's I'm sitting there thinking of 4 or 5 airplanes that I know that's going to affect.
I can't use the short runway unless we've got some really good winds with the big airplane.
Right.
With the smaller airplane.
But at night, you can't circle the land anyway. That's not authorized. And Dover won't give it to you, because they asked me the last time, was what runway am I going to use when I said I was going to circle the land. And I knew if I said 1028 that they were going to say, no, can't do that. Not authorized. So that's going to force us to go to Salisbury or Wilmington. So, I mean, it's a concern.
And we're doing everything we can. I'm not sure what to tell you, because it's not available now because the radials off of Salisbury are unreliable, and they're not going to fix it. I don't think they can fix it because of the whatever it is that's between us and them. Salisbury's going to go away in a couple of years. Like I said, the only thing we can do is just to request an approach be built off of something that doesn't require Salisbury.
Waterloo and DME required.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think VOR 16 in the Daytona is. There's going to be a number of those out there. Chester into.
Well, it can be done. So, like I said, it's been requested, and we're waiting.
Anything else, Jim?
Nope.
Any other questions on airport update?
signs outside of the airport, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, along 113 and just different corridors getting to here. What's the process there? What's the plan?
So outside of this campus here, the only other big sign is the one that I referenced at the school.
Right.
Jim has some intel from our friends at DelDOT relating to what I call the Seagull initiative, where the Seagull and all the road signs that indicate where the Baybridge Tunnel
yep.
is, or the Kitman Lewis Ferry has a
right.
has a we want to do the same thing. We didn't get the reception we wanted from DelDOT, so I don't know what that means in the future. You want to
well,
expand?
I'm being told that the Seagull sign and the ferry sign are not allowed to start with. And
are not allowed to start with?
No, that they don't meet the standards. And so for us to put up a sign like them is
so
not going to happen.
What is the standard then? If they've said that.
Well,
it's the
standard, what we have up there now, the green sign with the little airplane
with
on
airplane
it with the arrows and...
Where are the I'm trying to picture the ferry signs.
They're all located. Take your big green sign, says
yeah.
Georgetown 6 miles, and then on the posts underneath the green sign, that's where they're stuck.
Mm-hmm. It's like a 12x12 sign. It's not
that's
very big.
About this size right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But starting way over here somewhere in Georgetown.
They don't have
actually,
an arrow.
Actually, I think
over
towards
Bridgeport.
They're all
right.
Over
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seagull signs everywhere, up and
right.
down the peninsula.
Sure. And they're blue, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, something like
yeah.
that. The airport's green.
But then nobody at the Baybridge Tunnel could tell me how they got away with it.
They just put it up there.
Once you get out of Delaware, they just put stuff up.
They're there. They don't know who took care of it, and yeah, because it's been there so long.
I'm assuming that there may be other ways. I don't know what they look like yet. I mean, until I see a crew taking all the other signs down, I don't know why we can't put ours up. But we got to be thoughtful in the process. I don't want to snub our nose too bad for our friends.
Well, we're starting a good relationship, I would say, with the new secretary, right? So,
exactly.
Right.
I would say perhaps it's time to add that to our discussion.
Yes, agreed.
And I don't know all the details. I'm waiting for just a little debrief. There was a meeting earlier this week. I certainly know with Southern Delaware Tourism, Delaware Tourism Office, other shareholders throughout the state broken out by county to try to come up with some map game plan of what a more unified sign plan looks like. So I'm waiting to get just a quick recap to share so we can kind of figure out where our involvement would be to help in the communication piece of this. And this is very important. So more to come on that.
And there are different kinds of signs. I don't know how much you know about the signs.
I wasn't going to get into it.
But I mean, you know, there's the tourist signs and stuff that, you know, we tried different angles to, well, if we just call it a tourist sign, and then we could put that in.
I think it goes beyond even that. I think there's confusion, whether tourism, whatever it may be, it's getting all the shareholders together to try to assess all the challenges we're having. So we talk about tourism, they may be having challenges. We're having challenges from a governmental standpoint. So, again, I don't know what this solution looks like, but I know there's a lot of energy coming in that regard. And I'm hoping to get a little more of an update from a fellow, from Southern Delaware Tourism tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well,
you see logo signs, you know, like at an interstate exit where it's got, you know, gas, food, lodging and stuff, and it's got all the different logos.
Sure.
And, so, you know, we tried to do something in conjunction with that, and we didn't meet the criteria, and that, you know, the thing that they kept coming back to is, you know, you're a transportation hub, you're not a tourist attraction, you know, you're not a whatever. So
I wouldn't call Shell a tourist attraction.
Yeah, well, and there's a category of sign for that. So We just don't meet the.
It's a destination. I mean, it's a destination sign, right? I mean, that's what this is. It's a destination sign. So Arenas is a restaurant. So, I mean, if that's the qualifier, yeah. Right?
And then you get into the kind of what kind of road is it and how far and
just drilling down a dry hole there.
Right. Yeah. So we'll have to add that to our list to the secretary's conversation.
We're no different than the ferry. Mm-hmm. Ferry's transportation, we're transportation. Yeah. Ferry has a restaurant, we have a restaurant.
Right. Right.
Ferry signs are up and ours aren't. So that would be my
and that was my argument, you know, but they came back with, well, they're not supposed to be.
So a typical DelDOT response would be, well, Mr. Wilson, would you be happy if we tell the Delaware River Bay Authority that on your request, we're making them remove their signs?
It's your call, but make it the same.
So this morning when we were filming this WBOC spot, the gentleman that was out here from WBOC lives here in Georgetown, and until just recently didn't even know there was an airport here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's with radio for how many years, now TV for X number of years.
Yeah.
He's in the media and didn't know there was an airport.
Yeah. All the low-flying planes.
WBOC 16 has a chopper. You go up here and land here.
Well,
eat here.
I'm just saying, you know, there's no signs out here. People don't know this place is here.
I know.
All right, we'll move on to Wings and Wheels update.
We're going to Wings and Wheels at this weekend, according to WBOC.
That's a pretty big update.
I don't have a tram.
Calls calls and change
I just sent an email.
Yeah, well, things are obviously getting very frantic right now. Well, not frantic. Everything's starting to really boil down to, you know, all the final plans right now. We started distributing car passes for airport tenants, et cetera. By Friday, there's a whole ton that's going to be mailed out, you know, based on the list that I got from Susan. Some are going to be emailed, some are going to be mailed based on what kind of information I had. Some are going to be hand-delivered. Like on Friday, I'll take some down to state police and down to the LifeNet, you know, those kind of things. But then just like we did for the EOC, let, you know, the management decide what they need for mm-hmm. their, because it's their own private parking, so they can do what they
right.
when they want to. They just, whoever they want there, they just got to give a pass so they can get past the security. So that's being dealt with. The Friday event, of course, Dick Cole and his group comes in Wednesday night, and then Friday, the Aviation Education Day is really turning into be a great event.
Yeah,
we got some really powerful speakers.
We're really excited about that. We have 14 vendors that are coming between educational and employment opportunities. We were hoping to have, we had 109 kids last year, we were hoping to have 125. We have 265.
Oh, wow.
And that's not in response from all the schools yet. So we'll
order more supplies.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the former president of Lockheed Martin is coming to talk to the kids.
NASA astronaut Joe Edwards.
Joe Edwards and a number of other, good Lord, both of the colleges on the Eastern Shore that have aviation programs are going to be here. Embry-Riddle. She's AOPA.
Mm-hmm.
It's Textron, really catching
Northrop
on. And the thing that we're emphasizing mm-hmm. is it's not just a matter of telling everybody, all these youth, all these high school kids, what kind of careers are available in aviation and what, you know, what there is available in aviation, but how do you do it? It doesn't do any good to cause an interest if you don't show somebody how to then get involved and do it. And so the biggest part of our focus on the Aviation Education Day is to make certain that if we're going to be interested in, if somebody's interested in becoming an air traffic controller or an airport manager or an airline pilot, here is how you do it. Here's where you apply, here's where you get scholarship money, here's how you do it. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. It would be an injustice to create interest and then not show a method that we could fulfill it. So that's the focus on that. And then Friday afternoon, we got a real quick changeover for the event Friday night. It's going to be real special. You know, not only have we got a great band, the Abner Costello Group, we got, it's going to be a very special evening, so you want to get your tickets and be there.
We're celebrating Dick Cole's 100th birthday. We have some special things that are happening that night.
Yeah, that's what we're going to just, it'll just be a surprise for that evening.
It'll be a surprise, yeah.
Just to let you know, people wondering, you know, how good is a 100-year-old man doing? 4 days before he turned 100 years old, he's down in Sarasota visiting with Tom Casey. Tom had delivered a new 48-inch Toro zero-turn mower, you know, the kind with a handlebars you run. Well, Dick had never drove one of those, so he wanted to try it out. So he gets on it, starts it up, and 2.5 acres of pasture later, pulls it back in the barn and parks it. So when I'm 100 years old, I'm going to be able to mow 2.5 acres of pasture, okay, on a mower like that.
It'll be a hover mower by then. When you hit 100, it'll be a hover mower. It won't even be a zero-turn mower.
Well, I don't know. He said he's already planning for his second 100th birthday, or his 200th birthday. He's quite a character. Anyway, and then, of course, we still don't know for certain whether the C-47s can be able to come. I know there's been some concerns about, you know, having the, we don't have at least one Gulfstream parked here. And we'll just adjust, and you know, be working with Garrett as we get closer, and we'll adjust the north end of the map parking area to accommodate whatever. The C-47 that's coming, they have to pre-book a certain number of rides before they will incur the expense to come. Even though I was going to subsidize some of the expense, we still got to sort of whittle that negotiation down. They're going to be down in the area already, but they're going to fly over Arlington Cemetery on Friday. And so this is, and they're out of Geneseo, New York, so this would be just coming over here, spending night, being here all day on Saturday, and then going home. And this past weekend, Jeff Kleinman, when he found out Dick was going to be here, decided he wants to bring his B-25 down. So we may have 3 B-25s here, and his airplane is really historic. It was the 4th one built. It was the executive transport for Hap Arnold. And Jim, you know who Hap Arnold was in World War II. This was his airplane. So it's a very historic aircraft. So if Jeff still comes and brings his airplane, it'll be 3 B-25s here. And then we have some other special guests that's going to be coming out from the Chinese embassy on Saturday, so we can take them for a ride on the B-25. Lynn, do you want to fill in some of what I've missed?
Well, I think you pretty much got it. I mean, Saturday, everything's come together the way that we need it. We need it to, again, our Aviation Education Day is just kind of grown crazy. And our biggest concern is the turn, because we're using Skip Jones Hangar, is the turnaround from the Aviation Education Day to the Big Band Show. And we have like a 2-hour window to do that. So we are going to be all hands on deck on Friday.
What time would that be?
I would say I'm hoping, I mean, the education day goes till 12:30, but the kids can still mill around and talk to the vendors. Textron is bringing an aircraft down that's a test aircraft that the kids can get into and, you know, play around with and do whatever. So we're hoping that if we get in there at 12:30, 1 o'clock, then we can turn it around in 2 hours. But we've got, you know, the advocate seller group are coming in at 3:00. The band's coming in at 4:00. The sound people are coming in between 3:30 and 4:00. So I mean, everything has to be quickly turned around. But we've got you know, a great group of people that are taking care of the volunteers. So we're, you know, but if anybody wants to help us, we are not turning you down.
we're going to try to do as much as we can
Thursday night,
like hanging the flags in the hangar and getting some of the other decorations pre-staged, mm-hmm. so that the conversion can happen quite quickly.
Right. And then Saturday, of course, you know, it's our big event day. You know, the planes come in, the cars coming in. The Naval Academy parachute team is coming in, and they'll do, you know, a number of jumps that day. And you know, our air show announcer, our pilots competition, all that stuff is ready to go.
We're going to be flying multiple times during the day. We may not even, we've got a few people who are committed to that we'll sell rides to, but we're not stimulating rides in B-25 this year only because I got so much other flying to do. The folks from the Chinese embassy is coming. You know, we're going to be flying two or three times just to get them all airborne. Plus some other people that we've donated rides to for fundraisers during the year. You know, they're always cashing in at Wings and Wheels. Mm-hmm.
The anticipation is growing. When they told us this morning that WBOC reaches 400,000 households, that if we
200,000 would be here Saturday.
Yeah, if we have great weather next Saturday, I'm not even quite sure what to expect, because we normally see somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 people when we have a good Saturday. And you know, we have a few logistics problems that we're still working out. Parking is always a concern for us, and we have limited parking at Sussex Academy, which has always been our mainstay before. So now we're shifted to Sterling Square, and we'll have to make the best use of their inside parking and then their field parking that we can. We do have overflow parking at the Little League field. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get the buses down there. We have three school buses, and we have three of the people trams from the Nanticoke Indian Powwow, which last year was the first time that we used them, and they were easy on and easy off, and could get people here. And thanks to Todd last year, we had a loop that we created to just get people in and get people out very quickly. And it worked like clockwork last year, so we're anticipating the same kind of thing this year. We're ready to go. We've had a lot of people that worked really, really hard on this. We're pushing the big band show on Friday night. We have a local big band that's going to be out, and of course the Abbott Costello group, and the special thing that we're doing for Dick, because it is going to be a special evening. So talk it up.
One thing that I hadn't thought of until this book just came out, and it's called Dick Cole's War. Mm-hmm. And most people remember him for the obvious being Doolittle Raider, which he really plays down. So that was 30 seconds, and then we bailed out, and it was over. He was awarded three distinguished flag crosses. One for Doolittle Raid, which he doesn't consider he really earned anything for that. But the second was, he stayed in China. In India, and he was 13 months before he rotated home. He volunteered to help put together the routes across the Himalayas, which was called the Hump, or commonly became known as the Hump, flying supplies from India into China to help keep China in the war against Japan, because if China capitulated, all those troops in China would be turned against the Allied air forces. So it was a huge effort to keep China in the war. And the only way they could do that was to supply across the Himalayas in airplanes that couldn't even fly over the top of the mountains, had to fly around initially. And Dick helped pioneer a lot of those routes and flew over 100 missions himself through the worst territory, worst terrain in the world, and the worst weather in the world. Was awarded the second distinguished flying cross. And then what he considers his real great contribution was, after that he came home, heard about another top secret mission while he was test piloting B-24s, and volunteered then to go back to India because of his experience over there to put together the first air commando group. And that's where he considers his greatest contribution. And his third distinguished flying cross was putting together the air commando group and helping build a number of procedures and put together processes and procedures and techniques that had never been tried before, with towing two gliders on a C-47 and picking up gliders and bringing out wounded and taking in wounded and troops and stuff that to support the invasion of Burma. That's what he considers his greatest contribution, and of course that was his third distinguished flying cross. And in World War II there was only one pilot that served in all three of these major campaigns, and that was Dick Cole. Only single person, and all three were volunteer missions. So he's not just Doolittle Raider. He's pretty special. The book, the biography, for 20 years he refused to allow anybody to do a book until Dennis Oakstrom finally talked him into doing a book, as long as it was about the groups, not just him, but it was about the groups and all the guys that was that he fought with and their accomplishments, not just his. It is a great book. If you got a copy of it, then you. Yeah. Cindy this afternoon, and she's going to be bringing, I finally talked her into bringing a couple of cases of the books. I know a lot of people here don't
want
to get this.
Yeah,
I'm halfway through it myself, and it's really quite a good book.
Are you using the loop again?
Yes.
Do you have, or do you need county staff like last year to sort of man the gates?
That's up to you how you want to do that. I mean,
okay.
If you want to leave the gate open, that's fine.
Okay. Ron Verasco called me today. He's going to have somebody there.
Okay.
Terrific. And whoever is going to be at the gates, Lynn, you got them all on your email. I've got them all on my email. Query me or Lynn or one of the other. We will send you a copy of what the passes, parking passes look like.
Okay.
So it looks very much like last year, but they're different colors.
But they want the county employees won't need those, the police department, because the police department, the roads close at 9 o'clock, and the police department is manning those stations on Railroad Avenue.
Whether it's police, whether it's county, no matter who it is, they need to know what they look like, and they need to be able to recognize them. Because we're trying to make certain we do a good job of getting them out to all the people that need them.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's over there, the county employees, mm-hmm.
Do you have a new logo?
No. Actually, there's no logo on it, actually. The Wings and Wheels logo.
Yeah, but it's also your original picture of the Wings and Wheels.
It's
the
original 2006
logo. Yeah.
Logo that we did that's in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I promise you, we'll put the new
put
the flying seagull on it.
I actually just got the mock-up of the, because the Sussex Post always does our insert,
mm-hmm.
That comes out next week, and it has all the pertinent information about the event. But I got the mock-up of the first page, the cover page, and we put the logo on like in the middle, like the picture, the front picture is the picture of you and Dick in the cockpit. And then it's got the Delaware Coastal Airport logo, and it really looks sharp on that front page.
That's great.
I got you covered.
for planning, because this happens to be, if I recall, it's the same Saturday as Dover, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
I know Dover moved their race.
It's like every 2 years that seems to happen with us. But we went through, when I took over about 6 years ago, and we said that we would make it, we wanted to make it a standing weekend, no matter what happened, so people would get in the habit of knowing when it was. And we didn't have to worry about dates. We could always say it's the first, weekend in October. So 2 years ago, it fell on NASCAR. NASCAR changes their weekend.
Right.
So it's September 1. And 2 years ago, it fell on Wings and Wheels weekend, and this year it falls on it.
Do we know yet what NASCAR aircraft are planning using here, or any of them, other than the owners are planning?
We haven't heard from anybody yet.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, and Garrett also checked with Enterprise to see if there was anything on that end. So
it's really foolish for him to come here because of all the amenities here at Dover. It's right there. I was always just quite amused at how the county would. NASCAR idol worship has always amused me anyway.
Larry, you got anything else for Wings and Wheels?
All right.
Linda?
Linda, you have anything else?
No.
Do you guys have the itinerary that you're able to send out to us?
I do, if you want.
The schedule events for Saturday?
Yeah, I have a schedule event.
Just whatever you got. Yeah,
I have a speaker schedule.
May I have this?
We have Friday. Is Friday in there too? The speaker schedule?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
so the speaker schedule.
No, I don't have the speaker schedule.
Okay.
I've got the Friday evening and the Saturday schedule.
Okay. And I can send you out the speaker schedule if you'd like to know who our speakers are.
You have this back, but just PDF. I mean, just maybe everybody. That'd be great. Whatever
okay.
you got, that'd be good, just for planning purposes. And
do you have all that, Sue? That you would mind?
I don't have it.
If you sent it to Sue, and perhaps she could disperse it to the committee.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might be beneficial.
Yeah.
And I know you sent it to me, but that way Rob, all of us would have it.
Yep,
get it out to the county employees and just help promote.
Very good. I'll send that to you.
All right, new business. Any new business? Public comments?
Are you still taking volunteers for golf carts?
We had the handicap golf cart last year, correct?
I had one.
Yeah.
I bring one.
Okay. We have our volunteers set up for all the golf carts already. And Pat's donated that to us. We have three golf carts that we use to chauffeur people around from the place. And
what I do, that's the bus stop.
Right, and that's, yeah, because that we kind of run, our golf cart drivers kind of run the circuit. And
I did it here on the ground.
Yeah.
You had a lot of people got off the buses and they couldn't walk very far.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of wives take the bus in and the men bring the cars in for the car show, so they need transportation to the car.
Yeah, and that's kind of where, we have they usually give us a 6-seater and an 8-seater and then a 4.
I've got a 4-seater.
Yeah. And but then, any of us that have a golf cart, if we get stopped, we'll, take somebody where they need to go. And so, we're always, always looking. That's my opinion.
Okay, next meeting date. I believe 2 months puts us on the 25th, as Susan has so kindly reminded me, of November.
Which is
the day before Thanksgiving. I would possibly think either the 9th or the 16th of December. We have the 2nd, the 9th, or the 16th available. Does anyone have a preference, the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd week of December? She's like, it's our year-end meeting.
First week of December, I'll be Naval Test Pilot School that week.
So that's enough.
I think we finish on the 11th.
Okay. Is the 16th acceptable to everyone?
Of December?
Yes.
It's a week before Christmas, so.
Huh?
What was wrong? How did we get by the 9th? Was there a problem with the 9th?
Y'all can go
ahead. Okay.
I can go the 9th.
I'll be Naval Test Pilot School until
okay.
the 11th.
Just trying to comment.
I ran over my contract this year.
So we can make the 9th.
Can't do the
9th?
No, I can do the
9th.
You can do the
9th? Other than Larry, anybody got a problem with the 9th? How about the 16th? Anybody have a problem with the 16th?
I can't be here. But I don't have to be here. Don't hold it on my account.
You want to go with the 9th?
I was hoping there would be 2 for one date against it and 1 for one date.
That's fine.
We got a 1 and a 1.
We just need a motion for a date. It seems to be up in the air.
Larry, yours is hard and fast, right?
I'm starting pretty low.
Yeah. And what's the chances of yours accidentally getting rescheduled, changed?
On the 16th?
Yeah.
My son's wrestling, so I'm like, I'm going to go to that.
I'd personally lean towards the 9th just because less chance of snow.
Why could we not do it the week before Thanksgiving? If it's every other month, what about the
18th?
Yeah.
18th works.
Melody and I won't be here.
They're just the whole report. This is gonna be a very short meeting.
I am not touching that one.
Well, what about the...
The 2nd?
2nd.
Meaning the 11th?
The 2nd of December.
My contract this year goes from... it's a 2-week contract. I start... scroll back and forth. I start at Naval Test Pilot School on the 30th. And I'll be there until the 11th. So the first 2 Wednesdays are dead for me. But you can still go ahead. If the majority group can be here, go right ahead.
Want to make it the 2nd?
I have no objection to the 2nd, 9th, or the 16th.
The 2nd is a
scat.
Is it?
Sounds
then
like
the 9th it is.
There you go.
Nah.
I make a motion that it be the 9th of December.
Can I have a 2nd?
Second.
Any opposed? So carried.
Susan, I won't be able to make that meeting.
December 9th with a rain date of 6.
Snow day.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not ready for snow.
Anything else for the good of the order before we adjourn?
9.
Yes, sir.
Then have the updated phone list for you.
All right, I'd like a motion to adjourn this evening's meeting.
Second?
I'll second.
Favor? Who's opposed? Motion carried.